Photographer Mick Kalber has made a living off of taking pictures of Kilauea Volcano. He didn't set out to make it a career, but now he can't take his eyes off of Madame Pele's flow. His house is within 600 feet of her path, but going up in a helicopter every day has been his therapy. The lava is under his skin, and he says, in his heart.
I actually thought, this sounds ridiculous now, but I actually thought Leilani was one of the safer places because of the fact that lava can't pour into Leilani from above. There's a ridge there. And the flow that came down to Pahoa was coming straight for Leilani, but it hit that ridge at Kaohe and turned down towards Pahoa. And that's what's going to happen. If it erupts up above, it'll never get to Leilani. So my idea was, you know, if it's going to erupt in Leilani, it's going to erupt in Leilani. And that's exactly what happened. In spades, you know. So, but the thing that's kind of ironic about it is we're right in the middle of Leilani. We're right behind the park, Kupono, right behind the park, and just down from the park a little bit. I'm no volcanologist, what do I know? But there appear to be two scenarios that could really put us in danger. And one of them is if there's so much lava in that river that it's like a dike. And if that dike were to break and spill our way, it would be catastrophic. It could wipe out our place and a whole bunch of other places in a heartbeat. That's one way. Excuse me. The other way is for a new fissure to open up above there on Kupono or Moku. I don't think Nohea would do it, but Kupono or Moku or Pomaikai. And those places, if it erupted, it could slide sideways and go right down into our property.
So it's just a waiting game.
Yeah, it's waiting. And, you know, I think it's mostly how long the eruption goes. I mean, if the thing were to stop in the next week, 2 weeks, month, you know, 6 weeks in that range, we might have a chance. If the thing goes on and on and on, you know, I'd say we have very little chance. It's going to move sideways or something's going to happen, and it'll come get us. Now I'm experiencing firsthand what people told me about in Kalapana. I mean, when Kalapana happened in 1990, and of course that was a much different eruption, but it's the same thing. I mean, even though Pele was moving extremely slowly, it took 3 months to go through Kapa'ahu and Kalapana. And this one is in a month. It's gone through, you know, Leilani, Leilani Puna, beach lots, vacation land, you know, all the other places. So it's a much, much different thing. This is much more dynamic. It's nuts. I mean, in Kalapana, it would take a house one day and then nothing for 3 days and then two houses and then nothing for a week. And, you know, it was really very hit and miss and very agonizingly slow. This one is like sudden, you know, all of a sudden it's happening, all of a sudden it's doing this. It's like, you know, crazy, just crazy. Nobody can even catch the breath. You know, the people at Kapoho had, 3 days or something? And there it was. You know, everything was gone. So it's different in that way, but it's the same in to the extent that it is unstoppable. It is inexorable. It's going to do what it's going to do. She's going to go where she's going to go. There's no damn thing you can do about it. So, you know, you have to play that waiting game, and you have to... What people told me in Kalapana was it's like a roller coaster ride of emotions. You know, one day you're feeling pretty good about your chances, and the next day you're depressed, and you don't feel, you know, if you don't have a chance. And that's how we've gone. But I've learned over that time is what you have to do to not go crazy behind it. What you have to do is just sit with it. Just, you know, let it happen. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. Just wait and see what happens. You know, and the emotions come and go. But ultimately, she's going to do what she's going to do. And I can't get crazy about it on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of...
In that way, it's a good thing I have something to do.
Right, we've seen some stress-related issues, the shooting. We understand there was a suicide there recently. It certainly does, you know, make you think about the people that have been manning this eruptive phase around the clock. the scientists and the emergency management folks, civil defense folks.
Absolutely. I have the greatest compassion for them. I'm, you know, in a way, I'm playing that same game because I get very little sleep. You know, I'm not going around the clock. I mean, I'm 70 years old. You know, I'm not going to run around on the lava like I did when I was 35. I just can't do that. And so I fly it. And you know, flying has allowed me to stay in the game. You know, I fly and I get video. Then I come home and I edit for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 hours, you know, depending on what I've got and what I have to do. And I offer it to the networks and to the international news services and to the local people. And, you know, and to the community at large, you know, it's a Facebook thing, it's a social media informative kind of thing. And that's been one of the more gratifying and surprising things to me is the number of people who really appreciate what we're doing. You know, they don't, a lot of the agencies, but no, you know, no knock on the county or the federal government, but people complain here that the county is a day late. You know, they're so far behind in their reporting that it's of little value to them. So because we fly, we get the information fairly quickly. We started going live out of the helicopter, too. And, people really appreciate knowing what's happening because a lot of them, they can't be around their homes. They've been evacuated. They don't know what's happening. You know, they need to have some kind of a clue as to what's going on out there. And we provide that for them. So it's a public service, and the public has really responded to that.
Really been, like you said, therapy for you as well.
Oh, absolutely. It keeps me occupied. You know, it keeps me doing something. If I was just sitting around, you know, stewing over this whole thing, I would lose my mind. But it gets me involved. It keeps my hands active and my mind active. And, you know, and it makes me tired. And when it's time to go to sleep, I can actually go to sleep now, you know.
There's a lot of concern, though, about the noxious fumes and all the Pele's hair and the Lays.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've been shooting this for a long time, and I've never had problems with gas like we have on this one. I mean, the sulfur dioxide is just brutal. I mean, it's just crazy, nasty. Makes you, not only does it make you sick when you're in it, it sticks with you. And there were several days there a couple weeks ago when it was all over. It wasn't just out there, it was in Hilo. And it was thick. It was just really, really hard to breathe, difficult to deal with. And a lot of people got sick behind that. And, you know, it affected me very strongly for a period of time. I got past it. I'm not under that influence now, but it's really crazy. I've never smelled anything like that. It's really awful.
Yeah, so when the county puts out the warning, folks really need to heed that.
Yeah, you do. I mean, I never took it so seriously before, you know. We used to go down to the ocean entry, and the Lays was down there, and it was kind of nasty, but it wasn't like this. You know, I would smell it, and it was a good thing to have a gas mask and be able to defer to that. But it was minor compared to this. You know, this stuff will kill you, and you have to take it seriously. A lot of people say I really have always loved Pele. I think the volcano is fascinating. There's something hypnotic about it. You can't take your eyes off of it. I never intended to make the volcano my life, but it became my life. So I didn't intend to do that. But, you know, even though I find myself in a situation now where I could lose a lot, I still love the volcano. I still love Pele. It's not a either-or thing. You know, it's not, oh, she changed my house, I don't like her anymore. You know, you know, as Kekuhi says, Kanaka Ole, Kanahele, it's birth. You know, I used to say to her, it's birth of the earth, and she says, no, it's not birth of the earth, it's birth, period. You know, you're seeing that in action. You're seeing life, and it's a connection to the planet that we can't make any other way. You know, it's unique, and it's been going on since forever. Most of the earth was formed by this very process. And there's something about it that is very connecting. It's a spiritual thing to me. It's my church. I'm not a particularly religious person, but I'm a spiritual person, and I have that connection through the volcano.
That was Big Island resident Mick Calver, who has been up in a helicopter just about every day since this latest eruptive phase began more than a month ago. For links to his volcano video, check out the conversation webpage on HawaiiPublicRadio.org.
There's a ridge there.